Grace to you and peace from our suffering Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
We meditate this evening on one verse from John chapter 18. It's verse 12. Then the company of soldiers, their commander, and the Jewish guards arrested Jesus and bound him. We pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Nowadays, it's handcuffs and zip ties. Back then, you got control of a prisoner with chains or ropes. And it was a whole lot better for everybody, you know, no surprises. No fists of fury, no running feet, no attempts to escape. It was better for everybody, except the prisoner. The chains and the ropes were meant to say, you're under our control. You're going where we take you. You might as well give up and come along peacefully. Except this was no ordinary arrest. This was no ordinary prisoner. And everything leading up to this that you heard in the Passion reading tonight was not an ordinary time in Gethsemane. It was one of those times when you have to wonder, what were they thinking? They bound him with the idea that we have you in our control, very much what the mob was trying to say. There is still debate about what that Greek word means and how many actually came out to arrest Jesus. Numbers vary from hundreds, not only foot soldiers, but horsemen too. We don't really know. Any group could be called that, but if you take the numbers that have been thrown out there and cut them in half or take 25%, it's really overkill. But they knew about the power of this rabbi. They had seen only days earlier his power over the crowds on Palm Sunday, and they weren't taking any chances. There would be overwhelming force, from a human standpoint at least. They bound him. But why? Why bind those hands? In the Old Testament, there were sayings about hands being covered with blood, and sometimes literally. But these hands of Jesus of Nazareth, only covered with good. The healing, the helping of the deaf, the blind, the raising of the dead. The hand to the, wasn't it the daughter of Jairus, Talitha cum? Daughter, arise. Why? Why such anger? What fear? What means of control on those hands? Because everything they were doing was really useless. It was uncalled for. No need for it. But think about it. In that Psalm 145, we sing about the Creator. You open your hands and satisfy the desires of every living thing. So why is it that we sometimes bind those hands? By neglect. He commands us to pray. He promises to hear us. He shows us again and again that he's able to give far more than we ask or imagine. And yet we neglect our prayers. Maybe later. Maybe when I feel better. Maybe when I have my act together. Maybe when I get my life right. However people say it. And later doesn't come. And yet the Lord says, pray without ceasing. Don't let up in prayer. And why should we? Instead of binding those hands. And sometimes it's worse than that. It's almost like we want to chain his hands with, Lord, you know, when I have time for you, maybe then you can come out of the corner of my life. Just stay over there for a while. Leave me alone until I've got a really big problem. And then when I call for you, come on over and fix it. But I'll let you know. You know how it goes. Those hands. People still want to bind them today. Why? And why were they not frightened? The mob, I mean. Maybe those were some of the things they'd heard about, but you know what happened in Jesus' hometown when his fellow citizens, probably related to Jesus, it was probably his clan from the tribe of Judah up there in Nazareth, didn't like what they heard in the synagogue. He said from Isaiah, this day are these words fulfilled in your hearing. So he was claiming to be the Messiah. Forget the trial. We're not even going to bind him. Take him out to the edge of the hill. They're pretty sure they know right where that cliff is. It's hundreds of feet down into the valley below Nazareth. Just push him off. What'd he do? Walked right through the crowd. They had reason to be afraid. I mean, already, John reports that. It's one of those I am statements in John. There's 25 of them, if I remember. Ego I me, I am. He asks them earlier in John chapter 18, who are you looking for? Jesus the Nazarene. He answers, I am. They were trying to step up to arrest him, to bind him. And instead, by the power of his word, without lifting a finger, they fall back. Fall backward, fall to the ground, and he asks them again, who are you looking for? And he tells them again who he is. See, by this time, he had heard the Father's answer. It was so beautiful in that hymn before. Deafening silence. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Is there another way? No other way. And when the angel came and strengthened Jesus, he was ready. He goes out, he meets the mob. He is not one bit frightened because he's made up his mind. In fact, it was made up from all eternity. In his human nature and his fear, yes, find another way. But as a child of God even, the Son of God, with no other way, he will go. Because God had bound himself by his promises. There are debates among the theologians about different words in the Old Testament meaning loyalty and so forth. And it's kind of mind-boggling if you look at that and you listen to what they say. Do you not understand that God's loyalty was from his own heart? It was his decision to bind himself with his promises, but once he binds himself, he's not going back on them. You may try to bind him with chains and ropes, but he's the Son of God. One comment on this was about trying to bind a strong man with spaghetti. I don't know where they come up with these things, but if you ever get to travel in China, sometimes watch for they call them Muslim noodles. They're so long that in one restaurant, however many of these Muslim noodles you would buy for your soup, the waiter, well, I have videos of this, the waiter would do a dance with this noodle all around him. They're really long. Don't try this at home, kids, because your folks probably won't want the mess. But it might be kind of fun if, you know, everybody's good with this to just try wrapping somebody up with noodles and see what it takes to break them. You're not going to have to be the Incredible Hulk, right? That's like trying to bind Jesus. or even Samson. How was it with Delilah when you know, Samson, the Philistines are upon you, and those new ropes were wrapped up on him. He broke them like threads. How could they bind the Son of God unless Jesus let himself be bound? In a way, he bound himself by his promise, freely given and faithfully carried out. He bound himself when he let them bind him. Because as that old hymn goes, we were enslaved by sin and bound in chains. Remember that? Beneath its dreadful tyrant's sway, doomed to everlasting pains, these guilty consciences lay. There would be no way out for us, no other way. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. He was bound and determined. He needed to become human so that someday in the garden they could bind him and take him to the cross. There was no other way. He had determined already to carry our sins in his own body on the tree and there wash them away. To be bound by sin and death under the justice of God completely, because that's the way death was. Complete and total defeat for every human being unless God did what we could not do. You know, there were those in ancient times too, the stories are sad in the Bible, of youth that were overcome by death too early in life. Sometimes the Lord would, you know, allow a prophet to raise a child from the dead, as happened in the New Testament too when Jesus came. And there were those who seemed to cheat death. You know, ancient plagues and pestilences and troubles that would come on people, and yet, no matter who, 100%, unless you're talking Elijah and Enoch and miracles like that, but everybody else, death finally caught up with them, and it was complete. In fact, so complete, when Jesus tells that story of the rich man and poor Lazarus. Lazarus goes to heaven as a believer. The rich man in unbelief, as shown by his life, wakes up in torment. As Jesus tells the story, somehow he can see Lazarus up there and speaking to Abraham. You notice how he still wants Lazarus to be his lackey? Go and tell, you know, send Lazarus to tell my brothers. He's somehow aware that his five brothers back home will come to this place of torment too. Go tell them. Send Lazarus to tell them. And the answer of the Lord in the mouth of Abraham is for our day as surely as then. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. That's both a warning and for us, isn't it a comfort? To think that that Old Testament that Jesus says testifies of me is all we need. Peter says that in the first chapter of his first epistle. We have everything we need for faith and life from God. It's all there in the Word. Jesus would go so that what bound us in sin and guilt and fear, the reason people act as crazy as they do, is because, well, as has been said, you only go around once, so go for the gusto. And they do, because they feel this is all there is. And they're afraid. The insane things that have happened in the past few years, a lot of that is just the insanity of fear. You and I may not know what that's like, because probably for most of us, all our lives we've known that after these these days of Lent, when we look at our sins and we see our Savior, letting them bind him and pressing on, there's a celebration coming. And that fills up us with hope. We're prisoners too now. But instead of being bound by sin and guilt and shame, we're bound by hope, prisoners of hope. We press on to glory. The celebration is coming. But it's not just forever after. It's for today. It's one of those difficulties which I guess I saw from a fellow pastor at a conference one time. He just got off his cell phone. He had a very troubled look on his face. And I just asked him, everything okay? He answered me with one word. Feelings. Pastors have them. Pastors' families have them. Members have them. And people who have them really strong sometimes wish they didn't have them so strong. Have you ever just prayed about something? I've had it go sometimes for days. Lord, I know I shouldn't feel this way. Or somebody called, Pastor, I know I shouldn't feel this way. But it is real. There they are. Those feelings. And it seems to me that the more active you are in sharing your faith and the more you care about people around you, the more tender your feelings are. Thank God. That's how he made you. That's a good thing. They're real. They're dedicated. They're from the Lord and for the Lord. In a way, in those times of feelings, you can say, welcome to the heart of God. Because he feels it too. It seems to me more and more that these are some of the ways that the Lord, through his word, never separate from the word, always in the word, he gives us a window into his heart so that we realize this is how the Lord feels. When sometimes, I think especially when we hurt somebody's feelings, you wish you could take the words back or you wish it's not the way you planned it. And then you feel bad because somebody else feels bad. Feelings. Welcome to the heart of God. And welcome to your baptism. We were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too should walk in newness of life. As surely as parents with baptized children can tell those children you want to be good because you have an ally in the heart of your baptized child. New man, new nature. We also take the part of God, and that's Jesus and the dear Holy Spirit interceding for those we love. To be able to pray for the feelings of somebody whose feelings you've hurt and ask for the Lord's peace and loving kindness and tender mercy on someone else, this is priceless. And it's all part of your baptism. The Holy Spirit lives there. The Holy Spirit brings life for us. We rise to newness of life day by day. Don't try to bind the hands of Jesus again by neglecting prayer for others. Don't worry and fret so much that you're basically telling the Lord to stand over by the wall and wait till you have time for him. We don't want him bound. We want him freely giving us the dear Holy Spirit and his word remembered too. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. In Isaiah, the Lord complained, you Israelites said you would have none of it. When I pray that, I like to say, Lord, I want all of it. And he says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Redeemer. They bound him then, but he's not bound now. Glory be to Jesus, boundless in mercy. Amen.